Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone, and thanks for joining this Q3 FY24 earnings call of Infibeam Technologies Limited. The results and investor update have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of this, the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Co-founder, Mr. Avinash Sethi. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. Kindly ask your questions by raising your hand after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call reflects any outlook for the future. It can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be used in conjunction with uncertainty and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and the subsequent annual reports, which you will find on our website. With that said note, I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi, and welcome all investors and shareholders to the investor con call for Infibeam's quarter three, ending December 2023. Quickly going through the Infibeam's what kind of company we are and how long we've been incorporated. So we founded in 2000, about 1,350 people headcount, and we are a global digital transformation and product engineering company, having presence across India, Europe, Middle East, and U.S., with five offices in India, Indore being the primary office. We ride on our partnerships of Salesforce, ServiceNow, Microsoft, UiPath, and Automattic to enhance our capabilities and help our customers for their digital transformation journey. Can you see our goal medium? So this is a quick roadmap of the journey of over the years. Incorporated in Indore in 2000, opened office in Pune in 2004, in the U.S. in 2005. Revenue hit 4 crores in 2007. Then, you know, we opened our offices in SEZ. Our revenue hit 43 crores in 2015, after 8 years. 2023, after 8 years, we reached around 400 crores. We made an IPO on NSE in 2017 on the Emerge platform. We are on the main board now. We have Fortune 500 clients in all the markets that we are in. We acquired first company in the U.S. in 2019, second company in Pune, called Extended Solutions, and since then, we've been hoping to grow at a faster pace year after year. A quick glance in numbers. Born in 2000, 14 years of active growth, last 14 years of very active growth. First 10 years of more foundational. Large team size, we have 74 clients where we invoice more than 1 crore.
Voice is not very clear, Avinash. Can you move this one?
Okay. So, I hope it's better now. We have about 15 active Fortune 500 clients, and you know, a good repertoire of unicorns and billion-dollar businesses as part of our client portfolio. The first nine months, total revenue is 284 crores, EBITDA at 46, which is about 16%. PAT at 13 crores, which is about 4.5%. We have a slight depletion in cash at hand because we paid our second tranche to Extended Solutions founders, so about 16 crores. So that is some reduction here. Very healthy revenue CAGR growth since inception. We have multiple partnerships with companies like Salesforce, ServiceNow, UiPath, Microsoft, Automattic, and we've been awarded as the Dream Companies to Work For, Great Place to Work, and Best Companies of Women in India. So we're pretty happy and proud of these awards. These are the five broad areas where we, you know, focus on in terms of our service offerings. Enterprise software engineering. application modernization and CRP package implementation using Salesforce. And there's a ServiceNow component, which is mostly around IT service management and IT operations management. Then there's a user experience capability. We are investing in blockchain and trying to see if we can enable enterprises to move from Web 2 to Web 3 and have a very modern operations for them. Another big area for us is automation, robotic process automation. We do DevOps, we do CI/CD, and we do a lot of automation for our clients. These are some of the areas which are new age technology areas, and our clients demand services around these areas. So the names, ALM is a client which is 172-year-old brand. We have been working with ALM for last, I would say, almost 20 years now. IQVIA is another big client for us. We've been working with them for almost 14 years now. CoAdvantage, again, a very old client. TripAdvisor, SMBC, but the other four names, which are very large companies, but our contract does not allow to name them. Therefore, they are they're masked here. There's a data services, cloud data services and storage company. There's a logistics company. There's a reverse logistics services provider, which is very interesting business. And then there's a storage company again. So very good client set. And a lot of these are repeat businesses. I think each one of these is with us for multiple years. The average age would typically would be 7-8 years with influence. Next, please. Quick snapshot on last 5 years occurred, CAGR of 35% revenue side. EBITDA has been quite stable, 20% plus. COVID years were very positive because the facility costs were much lesser and the operational expenses were lesser. But we are coming back to 20% kind of a margin. We want to come bounce back from here to, you know, 24% kind of a range, but it will take some time. Same goes with PAT. PAT has been very healthy in COVID years. But otherwise, we find 14-15% is a stable margin profile for us. Next, please. So the key updates for this quarter, we found this partnership with Eginio. This is a ServiceNow elite partner in German market. Very strong presence in Germany and the European space. We have partnered with them in order to become a technical support arm, technical extension for Eginio, and very positive that we will be able to exploit this partnership to a great extent and this year and the next. It is a very long-term relationship, and we have already started work with them. A very positive development here. Six new large enterprise clients that we've added in Q3 of 2023-24. Which is a very positive sign. M&A pipeline continues to be healthy. We have been talking to Salesforce companies. We have been talking to Mendix, is another low-code, no-code platform, which is growing very well, very rapidly in German market. And therefore, we are willing to build a capability by way of acquisition if we can. It's a very niche space. So acquisition could be a very handy tool in terms of expanding our capability set. Multiple events have been organized. The most flagship event, which is an annual event where we invite our key shareholders, is called Innovation Day. Now, interestingly, this platform is an experimental an arrangement to allow experiments on the newer technologies that are coming up on the scene, and ask our team members to experiment with those technologies. Keep our clients in mind and see how we can build certain useful applications or prototypes of those applications for our existing customers, so that if we find merit in those ideas, we can actually go and do a full-scale implementation in the real world those prototypes. So we'll talk about it. There are a couple more slides on Innovation Day and the outcome of the Innovation Day. So very interesting developments there. We've been awarded a great place to work for the 8th time back to back. And the other things we'll talk about next week. Financial highlights, I'm assuming everybody is waiting for this slide. If you look at December 23 number at 94 crores of revenue, December 22, usually December is a low quarter because of holidays in India, holidays in US, Christmas holidays and Diwali holidays. At the same time, certain clients to maintain their cost efforts, they do a shutdown. So there are two or three clients where there is a 2-week shutdown. That means that no work happens and therefore no billing happens for them. So therefore, December has always been a low quarter for us and in general IT industry as well. COVID years were kind of an anomaly to that because December quarters also were very, very good in COVID years. But that is, I would say, an aberration. So if you look at December 23, we did 94 crores, which is about 8% lesser than December 22. But we are more or less there at September 23 number. So despite less number of working days, less number of billing days, we were able to meet our September numbers more or less. The better news here is that we have improved our EBITDA marginally from September 23 numbers. And also PAT significantly from our September numbers. So there is a cost optimization happening. There is a improvement in, profitability and tax factor has reduced because the entities which are in tax favorable zone have earned more income than the entities which are in full tax zone. So therefore, the PAT numbers have also improved. One thing that I want to highlight here, and we'll address those in question and answer session as well, is we are a growth hungry company, and in the COVID years, we continue to invest in growth. Therefore, you see our top line growing, but you also saw our bottom line shrinking. It is a conscious choice that we wanted to capture the revenue first, and in order to capture that revenue, we have to hire people which are available at a very high cost in the market, and also retain people who were losing out to the higher attrition rates. So we curtailed that. We successfully grew in 2 years. We kind of doubled ourselves. So this year is more or less a kind of a taking a which is a breather in that momentum where we are. One is we want to protect that revenue first. Second is we want to also optimize so that we can pass on the increased cost to our customers. And third is we still want to grow further from here, which would mean that we will invest in both organic growth and inorganic growth. So we will continue to have higher expenses on the sales and marketing front, on the inorganic front. Which will yield results in coming years. So be conscious of the fact, be aware of the fact that we as a company would invest in growth in both organic and inorganic growth. Next, please. A little bit more detailed version of the P&L. You can see here in detail the revenue has slightly declined, as I said, because of the holidays. Increase in other income is on account of reversal of New York office that our lease has closed by end of December. So from January onwards, we will have a very good saving every month, which was an expense, unwanted expense that we were tied into. But we'll have savings coming in. Now, because of India's arrangement, we have to reverse the lease liability, and that is where there's an additional income of 1 crore plus in the other income segment. When I look at the total expenditure, you should note that we saved about 2 crores in total expenditure cost primarily in terms of cost optimization levels, that the people cost has reduced by 2 crores here. There is a less tax, and therefore the PAT margins also improved. We have also improved our DSO days so that we have a better handle on the accounts receivables. Quick segment wise, usually it is 50-50 for digital transformation and product engineering space. ICL, Influence Cloud Tech, contributes about 18% of our top line. The markets have improved for us, where US remains at 70%, Europe has increased to 16%, UAE to 8%, and India has reduced to 6%. So here we are. So this is a glimpse of the Innovation Day that happened simultaneously in Indore and Pune offices. We had 11 teams showcasing 11 ideas around Salesforce, ServiceNow, artificial intelligence, RPA, and blockchain. The winner was DataMine, which was using machine learning to right-size the virtual machine storage, which will further reduce the storage costs and improve performance of business applications, particularly on Salesforce and ServiceNow. Similarly, using blockchain and NFTs, we worked on Digital Asset Connector, DAC, which is acting as a bridge and combining the Salesforce and other platforms so that the old application can move into the new application and have the usage of metaverse or blockchain kind of capabilities. The third tool was IntelliAgent, which was AI-driven insights into real-time analysis of incidents on ServiceNow, and offer real-time solutions also using RPA integration. So it automates a lot of your responses to common problems. So this was some of the mentionable, worth mentioning applications that we identified as an application or accelerator for the next level, so that we can groom it for the remaining part of the year and see if we can deploy it in our customers and make generate some revenue from there. Now, these are some of the success stories from the past. So Stanza was the winner of Innovation Day 2023, and this company, this particular prototype, has worked out fairly impressively for standards developing organization, which is called as SDO. We already signed a client, a paid client for this particular prototype, and we are talking to at least a dozen possible customers, where this tool can really fast forward their journey for go to market. It's a very interesting tool there. Space Warp is another interesting innovation that we did in Innovation Day 2022, which is on the ServiceNow platform, and it reduces the cost for our customer by 80%, the storage cost by 80% for our customer. And this is a very impressive outcome for the Innovation Day. So UFHT is another tool where we have sold 4,400 licenses. Let me tell you, it is a very small app on the Salesforce platform. And even though we have sold 44,000 licenses, the revenue would be, I would say, in the range of 100K or 150K USD. So it's not much, but you know what it does is it allows us, one is extra revenue, second is it allows us enter into large enterprises who find this app and deploy it in their instance. Therefore, this becomes a quick entry door. All of these accelerators, the idea is, one is quick go to market for our clients, and second is to get into these becomes a lead gen engine for us. They generate leads for us for these clients, and we can, you know, easily sell our other services using this as an entry ticket. So we've been investing heavily in enhancing our visibility, in enhancing our showcase of capabilities across ServiceNow, Salesforce, and other technologies. So these are the events that we attended in last quarter. There is a ServiceNow World Forum in Toronto, where we are sponsoring this summit. At the same time, we had a very good presence because ServiceNow is expanding in the Canadian market, and therefore we wanted to capture that opportunity since it is very close to our US setup. We have deployed HR SD module of ServiceNow in one of the key client, and it is a very complex implementation. HR SD is one of the very sought after module because not many companies have that capability. So we attended this HR specific conference to showcase our HR SD capabilities, and we got very good leads from here. So we hope a very positive development here. Another one is the ServiceNow Management World, which we met some of the key clients there who were attending it. Therefore, we wanted to be there, and we leveraged those relationships to form a new one. Similar story for Salesforce. You know, we became, I would say, national sponsor for Dev Days in India, where we did this in 5 cities: Hyderabad, Pune, Jaipur, Nagpur, and Bangalore. And we had a team of 25 people attending each of these cities, registering a very strong presence in Salesforce ecosystem. So this works in many ways. One is the Salesforce partnership becomes stronger because the Salesforce account representatives find us as a prominent player. Second, the talent market who attend these kind of events, where they see us speaking on the forum, they find us as a sought after company to join. They seek us actively. So this becomes a very interesting thing. Plus, Salesforce is very bullish in the Indian market. Recently, there was a news that they have closed their annual revenue for $1 billion in India. So they have hit $1 billion mark already in India, which is a very I would say, strong development for us in terms of looking at Salesforce India relationship as well. So they're investing very heavily there. We're also doing, we've been invited exclusively for an Omni Studio module of Salesforce, where the director of practice, particular practice, called us in Bangalore. And we were also one of the speakers there in terms of suggesting what else can be done for this particular studio to help grow in the ecosystem. And then we also are participating in Philippines, where we are showcasing our Salesforce capabilities across all the modules and getting good response from there as well. Again, Philippines is a good talent market. Plus, it is also a good growing market for Salesforce. Some of the events that we attended around the future of AI around WordPress VIP and future of AI around Microsoft technologies using and how Gen AI can help design and user experience capabilities. So we were also a speaker there in HR Tech Conference. The billboards are back. We are now promoting ServiceNow Superstars in Indore. These are the full-blown holdings in the city of Indore, where we promote key leaders. One is this is primarily for attracting talent in that space in the Indore market, plus also to recognize our team members who have been with us for over a decade. Each one of them has actually worked with us for almost a decade, and they have built our ServiceNow practice from grounds up, from scratch. So very proud and very happy of these people. They have already become a superstar in the ServiceNow ecosystem. Next, please. We've been awarded multiple times by Great Place to Work. This is the 8th year in a row. Similarly, NASSCOM, we've been associated with NASSCOM for over 10 years. They've been rewarding us in the recognition for that. Next, please. So we work with our students on the NGO side and train them on the full year program, which is allowing them to learn software engineering and making them employable ready. So they have been successfully placed in various companies. We invite experts of the trade to come and help them, either in terms of leadership, decision making, or in terms of, you know, igniting the power of youth and the women leadership in the various forums. So this is some of those activities that we performed last quarter. And there is a Shakti initiative where we promote our women leaders to come up and, you know, groom them to the next level. Yes. That's pretty much it. The promoter holding remains at 74.2% and the public has 25.8%. This is primarily because of the stock options that get released every quarter. The equity holding will be reducing by the day only because of stock options. Thank you very much. We are open to question and answers, and we can guide as to how we are going to accept the questions.
Thank you, Avinash. Participants can raise their hands and one by one, Mridul will take up their question and it will be addressed by Avinash.
So the first question comes from the line of Aditya Pal. We request all the participants to keep the questions to two. Aditya, I'm unmuting your line. Kindly ask your question.
Thanks, Nadal. Hi, Avinash.
Thanks, Nadal.
Hi, Aditya.
Just wanted to quickly understand where the degrowth is coming from, and are we particularly facing any terms of higher competitive intensity within the clients that we have?
So, Aditya, I think December has been an active month. We have had multiple client visits to our office. And also, I mentioned we signed this partnership with Aginio. So December has been a very positive month, I would say. We actually had 27 people joining us. Net addition in December was 27. So I'm seeing positivity here. Now, when you talk about degrowth, yes, there is a degrowth primarily, as I said, because of less number of billing days that we had. Second is there is a competitive pressure in the market where the demand has kind of subsided in last, until October, November, the demand scene was low. But I think it is changing, and there is a positivity around us. Usually December is a low month in terms of client visits and any new partnerships. But surprisingly, this was a very active month for us. So I see a good green shoots here. Plus, as I said, I think even the US market is now getting to terms with the inflation and the interest rates. The Fed has already suggested that interest rates will go down this year in 2024. So there is some positivity that we see around. So I think the worst is behind us in my mind in terms of the revenue pressures. A margin pressure will probably continue for a few more quarters, but revenue should start to show positivity from now.
So if I was to attribute the degrowth, one is within the clients and within geographies, and if you can also give a commentary on wallet share in our existing clients, because when you say competitive intensity, are we seeing any decline in our wallet share within our existing clients?
No, I don't see that problem. I think so there are clients where the revenue has decreased, but it was known that the project is going to end by that time. and there's always a transition period between a project ending and a project starting. So I don't see any such particular instances where the client has rapidly gone down because of a competition. The client might have gone down because of one, either the project completion or because there is some change in the management and the client doesn't want to, you know, spend on IT. Like for example, there was a client which kind of become bankrupt. There was a client which has suddenly stopped all the work because they were laying off a lot of people. So outsourcing was a clear no for them. So these are some of the instances which are not in our control. But to answer your question, we don't see competitive pressure in the existing clients. We see competitive pressure in acquiring new clients. I mean, again, I would say not really competitive pressure, but there is a decision making, there is a delay in decision making. I mean, a client will say, I want to start in December, but will not start until February. Right? So we lose people because which are blocked for those clients, and you know, I mean, we lose the cost of those people. Right? So these are some of those hurdles. Clients are not very quick in deciding. So yeah, I mean, competitive pressure is of different kind, not really is losing revenue.
And just one last question before I come back in the queue. Any commentary on the deal pipeline?
We usually don't announce that, but as I said, we had multiple client visits in the month of December. Agenio is a partnership that we publicized. Now there are new disclosures that the SEBI wants us to adhere to. So we will start to publish, you know, clients which has a material impact to the top line and bottom line. So that you will see more of those coming in for at least the new contracts and sizable contracts.
Understood. I'll come
back.
Thank you, Aditya.
The next question comes from Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh, I'm unmuting your line. Please ask your question.
Good evening. My question is again regarding the operating margins. See, they have gone drastically down from March 2022 to till date. We have increased the sales, as I understand, I think by close to 100 crores, but the profits have gone down drastically. So any specific reason for the drop in the margins, since we have a very long-term relationship with our clients? So is it the margins have gone down with the same clients or with the new clients?
No, so Rajesh, what has happened is during the COVID times, the salary levels have been rising crazily. So I would have mentioned in my past investor calls also, in one fiscal year, I think it was 22, we had to raise our salary levels by 40% across the board. Now, 40% is a very large number. To happen, not, you know, at a certain pace. Plus, we gave multiple appraisals, and then we also had multiple retention mechanisms in place. So all that, there is a significant pressure on the cost side because the salaries have shot through the roof. It's not that it was a temporary thing because, you know, it's very difficult to reduce salary. People leave, and when we go in the market, the hiring pressure remains. You know, you're still not finding talent at a reasonable cost, particularly in the skills that we operate. So it is a difficult proposition in terms of the cost optimization. The second impact is in the COVID times, the utilization levels were pretty high, you know, up to 85%. Today we are back to 75%. So that is also causing the drop in margin. The third is, to answer your second question of, you know, the clients and the margins between new clients and old clients, we are able to pass on the cost to our customers, be it a new customer or an old customer. So whenever we are getting the opportunity, we are able to pass on the cost and renew the contract at a new rate. So I think that is an active thing that is going on, and I think I would say more than 50% of the clients today have already moved to the new rates. So we are working consciously towards optimizing and maximizing the outcome, the profit. But having said that, our focus still is largely on growing the business, and everything else would fall in place eventually, but it will take time. So even if you see, you know, we are working towards improving the numbers, and that's a slow process, right?
So is there any way, like maybe down, as you mentioned, like in time to come, we can again get back to those 24 kind percentage of margins or not? Because it is.
See, that is the objective. That is, I would say, a goal for us. So the first and prime foremost goal for us is to grow the business at a faster pace. And second is to do it in a way where we can sustain our margins also. So we have both the goals in place, but it will, as I said, it is a matter of time where we get to both hand in hand.
One thing is, like, historically it has been found with the majority of the IT companies, like as and when they do any kind of an acquisitions, the margin they suddenly drop. So is it because of some negative synergies between the acquisition acquired companies, or maybe I'm not able to fully understand that?
No, so Eternus was a margin accretive for us. They were doing 30% plus of EBITDA margins.
Okay.
And yeah, so they actually helped us in terms of improving the margins.
Okay, all the best. I'm all set. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, Ramesh.
Participants may raise their hands for asking the questions. As an alternative, you may also post your questions in the Q&A box. The next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh. Rajesh, please kindly ask your question.
Hi, Avinash. Hope you are well. So just a
Hey.
question on the
Hey,
acquisition side. You mentioned in your opening comments that there are three or four transactions you're looking at. So if you can give some color on that and give a little more commentary as to what you are seeing out there in terms of valuation and what is the likelihood of getting something done in, let's say, next 6, 9 months.
So we've been actively pursuing deals in the space of Salesforce, ServiceNow, user experience, and automation. And we have been finding good deals right now. As I said, the valuation ranges are in our own ballpark estimates. Earlier, people used to have a very crazy valuation ask, you know, to an extent of 15, 20 times of EBITDA, which, you know, becomes 3 to 4 times of revenue. And we couldn't, you know, zero down on those companies. But what we are now finding is there are companies which are in the range of 50 to 80 crores kind of a top line. They are, you know, now looking at 2x of revenue or, you know, under 10x of EBITDA. So this is kind of a range that we feel is reasonable for us. So we continue to keep evaluating these companies. They are Salesforce companies that we are getting quite a good number of them. There are companies from US, from India, from South Africa, and then there's a company from on Mendix. Mendix is a new partnership in Germany, which is a low-code platform. And some of our clients are demanding that. So we are exploring Mendix as an opportunity as well. It is a niche play, so it comes with its own nuances. But yeah, these are some of those deals that we are looking at. However, none of them has gone to an extent where they've signed the term sheet. And if there's a term sheet signed, we would usually announce it on the platform, on the NSE and BSE. So it will be known whenever that happens. But yeah, at this point in time, we have discussions, we've been evaluating it, but no closure as such on the term sheet level.
Great. And my next question was, what is your cash level without accounts receivable?
So, 186 minus 67,
about 120 crores of cash and cash equivalents. Account receivables about 67 crores.
Got it. And in terms of Eternus deal, if you can just refresh, is that complete, the earn out and everything is done, or there is more cash outlay for that particular transaction still pending?
No, so we have paid at two tranches so far. One was in 22, one is in 23. Now we have 24 and 25, two more tranches coming up. So we have an outlay which is of about, I would say, 50 odd crores for next 2 years. And based on the achievement, they will get, so there are two levels, right? 100%, 110%. Looks like they will not be able to attend 110%. So the total outlay, the effective outlay will be in the range of 32 crores rather than 50 crores. So that is what we anticipate paying them off. And since we have had a larger outlay, we might have some reversal in terms of other income coming forward.
I see. And just last question, Avinash, on the margin side, I missed what you were saying earlier, but my related question was, do you feel that your this 17% margin this quarter and 16% last quarter, is that sort of giving you the feel for achieving some sort of bottom, or do you think in the next couple of quarters margins could go further down from these levels?
I would sense that this is probably the worst time is over for us, but we have the multiple factors, VP. You know, when you run a show, you
right.
Let's say, for example, sales is not happening, right? So I have to invest more in sales. So whatever sales team that I have, I probably have to double down on that. Now, sales is always a leading expense, and then 6 months or 9 months later, you have a revenue against it, right? Unfortunately, accounting does not allow you to have any kind of a work in progress and map those sales efforts to actual sales in terms of booking your expenses. So you have to book everything on the day one.
Right.
On a quarterly basis, it might be some deviation, but I think on an annual basis, we should see this as a bottom levels.
Got it. Thank you so much, Avinash, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh. There's a question in Q&A.
So what is the utilization rate for Q2 and Q3? And what is the ideal utilization rate for us? The ideal keeps changing. I would want 100% utilization rate. Is never possible. During COVID times, we got 85% levels. Today, we are at 75-77% kind of levels. That is where it is. Can we stick to doubling our top line every 3 years? I think I would still want to say yes to that answer, that question. We would want to double our top line every 3 years. Let me also tell you that we doubled our sales in 2 years from 2021 to 2023, so 196 to 399. So we use this year as a buffer. Think of this year as a buffer. So we are back to square one, and now from here onwards, next 3 years, we want to double our sales. Answer is yes. Again, Nitish, how much Infobeans is ready to spend on M&A maximum? The answer is trickier. Obviously, I have a budget that I want to spend X amount of money. But if I find a company which I see a lot of value, I would probably use my bridge limits, my OD limits with the bank. So I can do bridge financing and consume that. So usually what we have said is, we want a company in the range of anywhere between $8 to $15 million in top line, which our anticipation is will come at around anywhere between $15 to $20 million. So yes, we can consume that kind of a company.
Thank you, Avinash. Thank you. I think Rajesh has one more question.
So Rajesh, you're asking for revenue guidance for next few years. Unfortunately, we don't do that because you've seen yourself, the numbers are unpredictable at this point in time. What are the hiring plans? So we are actually having 100 plus open positions in ServiceNow and Salesforce, and we continue to hire people in all both of these platforms in all the geographies. So yes, we are hiring all over again.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. It's top of the hour. Avinash, we would request you for the closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you for your patience in terms of listening to our story every quarter and understanding the business in more detail. I invite each one of you to come to Indore, meet us in person, see the office, and you can also go to Pune if it is closer to you. Either way, we'll be happy to entertain you in person and answer your questions. Be assured that we are all focused our energy. We are spending our energy in terms of growing the business, both organically and inorganically. So, and it also pains us to see our profit bleeding in terms of the low margins. But having said that, in a long-term view of the business, we find that it is a very short-term pain, and but if we are set for growing the business in the longer run, then this will be a blip in the long-term journey of Infobeans. So we are very positive. We want to grow the business, as I said, at a faster pace. We are investing. All our leadership is investing in that front. And we will continue to invest in both organic and inorganic growth in the future. Thank you very much for your continued support.
Now you may disconnect your line. Thank you, everyone.